that about an hour ago at 1807 Zulu in the vicinity of Mount Shasta, he observed a large object about the size of a C-5A.
Whoa.
And he went south of Mount Shasta about 15, 20 minutes, and then he turned around and came back, and he saw the same object on his northbound flight at about 1840 Zulu, or just about 24 minutes ago. And he says the second time it came out of the ventricle cloud that hangs over Mount Shasta, and it was quite noticeable, still quite large in size, and green and gray in color. Okay, I have the gentleman's name and the number of the aircraft.
Okay.
He's coming up to Portland from California. The number of his aircraft is November 55130. It's a Cherokee. The gentleman's name is Mr. And he can be contacted in Portland at phone number. And he also notified us over the air that he's a Mormon and hasn't had a drink for 20 years. So.
Oh, beautiful.
So he says, and he's been flying for quite a while, and he says he's seen this object twice now. Once southbound over Mount Shasta and once again northbound, and the second time it came out of the cloud that caps Mount Shasta.
Okay, we'll get in contact.
And he'll be in Portland in about an hour and 20 minutes from now, or just about 1:30. He'll be at the Portland Airport, and I don't know how long it'll take him to get home.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Goodbye. I'm calling for the UFO Reporting Center in Seattle.
Yes, sir.
We understand you had a little experience today.
Yeah, we had a little bit of one.
Okay, I wonder if we could get a, you know, what you saw.
You bet. It was about the size of a Galaxy C5, and it's across, you know, have you ever heard of the Guppy?
Yes.
Okay, that type of aircraft. The big belly. Well, it looked like it had a similar shape to that, and it was a cross between that and a blimp. It's about the size of a C-5. It's just, it was big. It was sort of a grayish green color, and from a long distance, about 55 miles away, out by Alaska, the first time I saw it, and I thought, well, it's a cloud or something. Like that. Then it got closer, moved closer, and then it moved back again, and disappeared. And I was talking, I asked them if they had a radar blip, and they said, yeah, but it's disappeared now from behind Lassen. They said they didn't have anything there, you know.
Yes.
And then something appeared from behind, same thing, appeared from behind Mount Shasta, and then disappeared into the clouds, into Shasta, the clouds around Mount Shasta, and didn't come out again until I took a picture of the little rascal. It started to come out, and I snapped a shot of it as I was about 20 miles from the peak of Mount Shasta. I don't know whether I got it or not, but I took a picture of it, and I'm going to have that film developed.
Okay. About what time did this happen, to start the first sighting?
First sighting? Oh, bananas. I guess it was about 11:30, 12 o'clock thereabouts.
Okay.
Somewhere around then.
Okay. Now, you say that the object approached you.
Yes, it did.
Okay, did it get close enough to have, to see any openings, any lights, any appendages?
No, it did not. It was about 30 miles from me.
I see.
It was. It looked like it was about 50 or 60 miles away originally, and then it got within about 30 miles of me, it looked like. It started to come toward me. But the time that I took the picture, as it started to come out of the clouds, there at Shasta, I was about 15 miles from me. I mean, it was, you know, you could see Mount Shasta. Direct line.
Yes.
And so I didn't notice anything then at that time. I just was kind of excited trying to snap the picture of the doggone.
Right. Okay, do you feel that it was flying at about the same altitude that you were at?
Well, it was at about 11,000 feet, around that varied to 2,000 feet or so.
Okay. And what was the color?
Sort of a grayish green color.
Could you make out any metallic surface?
No, I couldn't.
Was this grayish green, did it appear to be a solid color of a surface or a light effect?
Solid color of a surface.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't varying in shades or anything else. It was a solid color.
Okay. Now, when that, I don't imagine that you could see any heat waves or anything coming off of it?
No, I wasn't noticing any heat waves or anything else. I thought first that, you know, I thought, you know, I was sort of joking around with them up there and I didn't see anything really at all, but when it approached me, then I realized, well, it wasn't a cloud because it came too fast.
Yes.
And it just had that big, you know, I know, it was just really hard to explain. It was strange. Very strange. That's about the only thing I can say is it was strange. Weird.
Did you report that? Was that to the Auburn Center that they were tracking?
I don't know if it was the Auburn Center or what. I was reporting this first sighting went to Oakland Control.
Uh-huh.
So I don't remember exactly what frequency I was on at that present time. I think it was 120.4, if I'm not positive of that.
I see. And when was it that you reported to Auburn?
Well, immediately after I was over there looking that way, and then I happened to glimpse that and looked at it for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then not even that long, I guess it was. It seemed like that long. And he was flying over Shasta. This is my second sighting.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if he saw anything or not. I don't think he did.
I see. And you were on the west side of Shasta at the time?
This is correct.
Right, uh-huh. Okay.
That's when I took the picture of the west side of Shasta.
Uh-huh. Okay. How about your instruments? Do you have any effect on the your compass or your guidance system at all? Or the radio?
Well, my instruments, everything was fine, except for when I got close to Shasta, real close to Shasta Mountain, there seemed to be a variance in my my VORTAC reading for Eugene.
Uh-huh.
It said that Eugene was 90 degrees to me, west, and I know darn well it wasn't. But that was all that there was.
I see.
I just readjusted everything, just made sure. But that's the only thing that was out of the normal during that time.
And you had no problems with instrumentation on the way back to Seattle?
No, I didn't. And no problems whatsoever.
Okay.
Here to Portland. The only problem I had was weather.
Oh. Are you going to have those pictures developed right away?
You bet. I'm anxious to see what I get.
Well, if something does show up, could we be notified?
You betcha. You betcha.
Would you like our phone number?
Yes, I would. Okay, and I'll let you know one way or the other.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay.
Okay, have you notified anyone else of this, or has anyone else called you?
No, this is the first thing that I've said to anybody.
Okay.
But they said they asked me to not say anything to anyone until someone contacted me.
Right. And you were the only one in the aircraft?
Yes, sir, I was.
Okay.
I was also interrogated and asked if I'd been drinking.
Standard procedure, I think, for UFOs.
Well, I told them no, I hadn't had a drop in 25 years, and then I explained the reason why is because I was Mormon, so I hadn't been drinking any.
Is this your first experience along this line?
Yes, it is.
How long have you been flying?
1 year now.
I see.
Pretty close to a year, and I've got almost 300 hours.
Okay. Well, sir, we sure appreciate your talking to us and taking your time. And if we get any more information on this, we'll get back to you. And I hope that if anything shows on the film, you'll let us know.
You bet. You bet. I'll let you know one way or the other if anything shows up, whether it does or doesn't.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling or talking to us.
You bet, sir.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Gee, that's a beautiful picture of this. Good old Mount Shasta.
Here's some more pictures I took on the way back. So after I got into the meeting area when it got cloudy and some sun, and I was on the same trip. And I'm not a professional photographer by any means. I just happen to play around a little bit. You get lucky once in a while. Some of them are duplicates of each other. Different time exposures.
Yeah, my son does that.
Those are my favorite ones there. A little bit more.
Do you have that half?
No, I do not. It's running around someplace. I don't know where it is. I don't know exactly where it is, but it cuts off half of those. Because you get it developed originally at Photoman, and you get a rebate, you know, if you don't like the pictures you take. That's what I did.
Nothing was on there?
No, nothing except for this portion here. There wasn't anything in the other half of the frame. There wasn't anything there except for the numbers of what was left of, you know, they have at the end of the tape. So there wasn't anything. left of that.
Now, that was taken the same day, right?
Right. You
did
bet.
You take that on the way down?
No, that's on the way back up.
I see.
That was just, I took the picture, I had one frame left, and I rolled it, and it hung up on about the last, you know, part, and I think, well, you know, that's it. And I didn't have time while I was flying to take everything out of my 3mm camera. This thing started to emerge from back from behind here.
Mm-hmm.
And I popped up my camera and just snapped it. And I was hoping maybe I got something, but I didn't get anything at all, unfortunately, because there wasn't enough there to film to take anything.
Geez, you know that? The clear conditions?
Oh, would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I was a little upset. When they come, I was really anxious to see what I had, and maybe just, maybe. And but I didn't have anything, unfortunately. But these clouds are very deceiving. They're always there, I guess. Every time I've always drove down, I've always noticed that there's been clouds around Mount Shasta. I've never seen it clear. I've just only seen it about 5 or 6 times, so I don't know if they ever do clear away or what.
Now, when you were coming down, heading south, were you to the right or east or west of the mountain?
Okay, when I was going headed south, I was to the west of the mountain. This is my back. This is a climbing fall section right here. Oops, excuse me. I'll leave that here. I don't read road maps or much, but I had
no
time
no,
here.
No, I was just looking for fast.
Okay. Here we have Shasta here, Mount Shasta. And right, I was coming down this way, through here, down this way, and then I cut on across down here on the San Francisco section, like this. And it took the same route back up. Flew into Red Bluff area up this way and came across up this on the right hand side of the mountain going north. Going north was the time on Sunday, October, I guess it was the 4th of Sunday, is when I made the sighting, initial sighting. I was approximately in here at the time, my first sighting, and I saw this huge object. I don't know, it was just really strange. It was a cross between a galaxy, it was the size, magnitude of a galaxy C5.
Mm-hmm.
And it had this big sort of bubble type thing like a guppy would have, and sort of long oblong like a blimp. So it was sort of a cross between the three of them. It was from that distance, it didn't have a metallic shape or whatever look to it at the present time. It had a grayish green color. I didn't see any lights or anything else. And it just looked funny, so I called Oakland Control Center, and I asked them for confirmation, do you have anything out there? And they said, yeah, we have something about 60 miles out here by Lassen, and that's approximately where I could see it. It was just, you know, it was pretty good size. It looked like a very extraordinary sized object. It wasn't an airplane, you know. And they said, we have a blip, but we're not giving it radar service, and they checked to see if it was a C-5 by chance. And they didn't have any C-5s on the VFR or anything in that area. And then the blip disappeared. And I said, well, now it's about half distance from me. And she says, yeah, we've got a blip there too now. And she says, I don't know, you know. She checked again, and there wasn't anything. And at that time, it had disappeared. So that was the last of that. It had moved the twinkling of an eye, you know, about half distance. It made about a half distance between me and Mount Lassen. So it'd be 60 miles. It was about 30 miles. The next sighting, I was right in here, approximately. This thing popped out from around in here, and I called Oakland Center again.
That's Lassen, right?
No, this is Lassen down here.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, this up here is Shasta. This is Shasta. And I called them, and they asked them, you know, do you have a look there? I've got it again. And at that time, they had a Hughes Air West that was flying over pretty close there, and he was looking. He didn't catch it, but it disappeared into those clouds that I showed you. They confirmed the fact that there was something there, but they didn't know what it was, and it disappeared shortly afterwards. I had no problems with my instruments down here in my airplane in this area. It was what's when I passed within right here, this distance of the mountain, just prior to me trying to snap a picture of it, I was tuned in to Roseburg radio, which would be in front of me, show anything in front of me, but all of a sudden the needle pointed as if though it was at 90 degrees to me, to the west. And that was the only instrumentation disorders that I had.
That was in that area of Shasta, though.
Right.
Okay, and now did Oakland confirm that they had picked something up there, too?
They confirmed that there was something there, but they didn't have a radar follow-up.
And then you had two confirmations of this.
That there was something
radar.
There,
yeah,
but
they didn't know.
They didn't know what it was. It could have been a light plane, you know, as far as they knew. But it was not something that they were actually following. Also, Seattle Center confirmed the fact that there was something there. And I was then on Seattle. At about approximately this time, they switched me to Seattle. And then they contacted me. I got my information, my name, and everything else at that time. It was unique. That's about all I can say. It was that greenish-gray color. And it wasn't like a cloud, because it was really, you know, it was clear. You could see by my picture how clear everything was. It was just there for just a moment. Then it emerged from the clouds. They tried to take the picture. But shortly after I snapped the shot, it re-submerged back into the cloud area, cloud cover.
Would you say that it was at an altitude higher than...
No, it was approximately even with me.
But you were flying at?
I was flying at 10.5. So it was about the same altitude I was, you know, give or take 1,000 feet. If anything, would be higher than I was, I'm sure.
Did any time did the FAA in Seattle ask you about that after you had reported it in that area and after they had tracked it? Did they ask for any more data when you were coming up, whether you'd seen it anymore? Or...
No, they didn't. They asked me if I was sober. I don't know if it was Oakland or Seattle. They asked me if I was sober. And I explained to them I'd never drank in my life and I was Mormon, so I said, I guess you're sober. So,
kind of a sarcastic question for over there.
So, well, I guess they get a lot of guys, and it was that sort of, you know, that type of, a, you know, Sunday flyers or whatever. And I sort of joked around about maybe I, you know, I don't know, it's just my eyes, you know, it's just, you know, you guys are going to find me on the screen. They said, no, we got a blip over there, but we don't, you know, we're not following. That's about all I know. I mean, is there any other specific questions that you could?
Yeah, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, so all of your flying was on the west side of both Lassen and Shasta.
You bet.
Okay. Approximately how far from Lassen were you when you sighted the Yambo?
I was about 60 miles.
Okay, how far away from Lassen was the Yambo?
Very close to Lassen. I would guess it was right within this area right here.
So it would be the western portion of the mountain.
Right.
Okay. Then you went up to, you were flying near Shasta.
Right.
And then you saw the object.
Again, on this side, on the eastern side. Okay. And she disappeared into the clouds in here. Then as I was flying on the western side, she...
Emerged.
Emerged from this side of the mountain. It appeared as though it was emerging from the clouds. Okay, it may not have been because, you know, you're from here. And your clouds are looking from this side here. And something comes out like this. It looks like it's coming from out, but it may be just on the other side of the mountain. But it appeared as though it was emerging from the clouds. I was within about 10 miles from it.
Okay. Now, how far away from Shasta were you when you sighted it on the eastern portion?
I was about 20 miles from Shasta.
Okay. When you saw it here in the eastern
right.
portion?
It was right in here when I saw it there.
Okay. And then...
Then it disappeared into those clouds.
Okay. At what point did your instrument panel...
Okay, have problems?
Disorder, yeah.
Right about here.
And how far would you estimate your position from Shasta at that point?
Okay, I can give you a pretty accurate indication here. Well, I'm within about... 10 miles of the peak of Shasta.
Okay. And how long did that disorder last?
It lasted for a period of about a minute and a half.
And then it went back to normal?
And everything went normal as I got out of Shasta.
Okay, so as the object went behind the cloud, well, behind the mountain, and emerged into the clouds, and emerged out of it,
mm-hmm.
all during that period, your panel was acting up?
No. Only upon when I came about 90 degrees at the closest point of to the mountain, because I could be down here, and I was passing along this way, so. Okay, no problem here, until I got right here.
So approximately 90 degrees
from the object. If I was to be perpendicular to the object, you'd draw a line like this. Be perpendicular to it, yeah. Parallel and perpendicular to it. My instruments showed for about a minute and a half that Roseburg was to my left-hand side.
Another 90 degrees.
Well, yeah, it would be to the left-hand side. In other words, you'd have it right here, so it'd be a 180
right.
Cross.
Okay. And then about a minute and a half, a minute.
Everything went fine, no problems. I didn't have any instrument trouble prior to that or after that, the rest of mine.
Okay. Getting back to Lassen Peak, you said the object, you initially saw the object, and then it disappeared and then it reappeared.
Right.
So the best of your ability, could you describe how it did that?
It was there, and then it was gone. that's about the best I can describe to you. It was just there, and I you're trying to concentrate on flying and everything else while you're doing it, not, watching anything else, what's going on. It was there for just a moment, and then, just sort of a blinking of an eye, it was gone. I didn't see it, I didn't have any view anymore.
How did it appear? Really?
I just happened to notice it. I wasn't looking for it or anything else. It just, as I was looking up, looking around, you keep your eyes rolling, something. I caught eye of it again.
Okay, so you never saw it appear.
No.
It was just...
I just caught eye of it, right.
Okay. Now, when you got up to Shasta, how did the object move into the clouds there?
Slowly. It just sort of... into the clouds, and that was it.
Was the object stable? Was there any kind of...
It seemed stable. It seemed like it would be just like taking your hand and moving it into whipping cream or suds in a bathroom. You just sort of... and there, sort of type of thing like that.
Was that the same case with its emergence?
Right.
And it emerged only partially? Or
only partially.
Did you get the impression that Shasta that it might be trying to hide from you?
I don't know if I could use that as an impression. It was trying to hide from me or something like that, but it was there within that area. Mm-hmm. I would assume that, I guess you could call it trying to hide from me.
But it, when it went back...
Or using a discreet place for observance.
Yeah.
Well,
when it went back into the clouds, did it turn it all over to back in, or did it just back in?
No, just back in.
Yeah.
So, like, it had a reverse, Good night.
Good night,
Ron.
Hey, Larry.
Have a good night.
Okay.
Okay,
You guys just feel like you're in the house, You want to watch TV or something.
Okay, the sun was out. Was there any glint on the object?
No, I didn't notice it. If there would have been, no. In the position of the sun, there couldn't have been any glint on the object because the sun would be to the back, so it would give a sort of a shadow effect to it. There wasn't any sun shining on it.
Do you remember what the time was when you were sitting down here?
I'm trying to think. I think it was approximately, let me think, if I left my flight plan, punched out about 10:30, took me an hour. It was about 11:30.
For the initial sighting,
approximately, I believe.
It lasted probably
for about 4 minutes.
And your second sighting and third approximately?
It took me about another 35 minutes. About 12:10 thereabouts.
And it lasted for?
30 seconds the first time. Then the second time again as it emerged lasted for 15-20 seconds.
Was there any other chatter on the radio that you could hear while you were recording this? anybody else talking about it?
No, I wasn't hearing anything. It was just kind of silent, and all I was picking up was, of course, I was only tuned to one channel, and that was two channels. I was tuned to Seattle Control Center and Oakland Control Center, both, because you're right in that area, you know, where it transitions, and you want to listen to both. I do. You don't have to. And they say switch off to Seattle. I like to listen still to Oakland or something like that, just in case they may want to raise me and they can't raise me. You know, Seattle is something I always have.
Did Oakland give you any instructions on what to do about that when you recorded it?
No, they didn't. Not really. Seattle was one, I think it was, that said, don't talk about this to anyone until you've had someone contact you. They said, well, okay, you know. And they said they wanted to know if I, this is my first sighting, first experience, approximately how many hours I had in the air.
How many hours have you had?
Well, I've got approximately 300 hours now. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've been flying for, well, by gosh, I've had my license a year today.
What kind of plane were you flying?
I was flying a Cherokee Aero, 1975 model.
Is that your answer?
Right.
Okay. I have a couple more questions. What went through your mind when you saw the OVNI?
The first time?
Both times.
Okay, the first time, I thought maybe it was some sort of a weather disorder, a cloud. But as it moved, what really bothered me is it moved from point A to point B at the halfway mark. And that kind of concerned me a little bit. And that's when I thought, gee, I wonder what that is. And that's when I got on to Oakland Center and I asked them, you know, as it made that move.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was about to, saw this thing out there, and I asked permission. I said, what is that out there? I just thought. And they said, oh, you know, we've got an object for that. And then when it really moved, and that's when I really started getting on the wall and watching things. And then when it disappeared, then I didn't think much about it. And I just sort of kept looking back toward last and seeing if I could see anything. And nothing happened until I got close to Shasta, and there was our friend again.
Okay, so you were within, what, 10, 20 miles from up in Shasta?
Right, from here, 20, 25 miles. Here, 10, 8 to 10 miles. Right.
Okay, therefore you had a closer view. And you were in closer proximity. What went through your mind at that time?
I really don't know. Couldn't really honestly say, except for I was extremely curious about it, and I was interested in it, and I was excited to get a picture. And that's
did you ever have any feeling of fear when they spotted this either time?
No, there was no. I feeling fear. There wasn't any reason to.
The object up here in Lassen was at point A,
okay.
And then it disappeared and went, and you saw it at point B. How many seconds elapsed from the time that you saw it?
2 seconds at the most. I mean, it was blink, blink, and there it was, half distance again.
Okay, so you have there, it was about, what did you say, 50, 60 miles away?
Right, well, it made it within about 30 miles of me.
Okay, so it went half that distance in
just a twinkling of an eye, yeah. It was just, next thing I knew, there it was, bingo, it was, you know, half the way. And, well, that's interesting.
On your flight down, how far south did you go from Lassen?
Okay, on my flight back down? Down
to, yeah, you came south of Lassen.
My original right. Initial flight down? Yes. 6:30, you guys. I went down as far south as, right here, and then I picked up the vector and shoved off this way, went to Napa, California.
Oh, I see.
And I visited my parents there.
Well, it was our understanding you just went down, turned around, and came back.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. I went down, spent some time with my parents. I went down on Thursday evening, and then came back up Sunday. There's some man.
You have a blank piece of paper?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking the same thing. Sketch?
Yeah, sketch.
You a good artist?
Well, I'm an artist, but I can give you a rough idea.
Okay. Just as big as you can get it on. East.
Okay.
Yeah, the first one could be of Lassen.
Okay.
If you could do a picture of the object as you saw it at Lassen.
Okay.
Lassen.
You want the mountain in the background or anything? Or
sure, to give us an approximate size. The best you can do.
Oh, that's hard to do because I have no idea when I come to
the object be sufficient?
Okay, I'll tell you. I'll give you the objects.
Okay, okay.
And, okay. Sort of. It's more sort of a bubble. But what was kind of strange is sort of a, like this, sort of like a whale type of thing, but that's about the way it was, it appeared to me. And it was just sort of a grayish.
Same color all over.
All over. It wasn't shaded in different ways. It just seemed like a solid color, solid sort of a, you know, sort of a solid grayish green.
Did it maintain the same shape at all times?
Yes, it did. It didn't seem to be varying at all.
Okay, and like I said, this is the object from Shasta.
Okay. As it emerged or as I...
As it emerged.
As it emerged, okay. Because it was a different shape. Well, in the sense because I was seeing it from sort of a different angle as I saw it from here. It hasn't emerged here. Heavy. Shoot. Sweet.
It's a cigar scene from it.
It's either a cigar or just a big disc with your energy field taken off out of the back. They're probably the disc around here. C5A is a big crap.
Yeah, it is.
Sort of overhanging here. Junior was. Sort of like that. And then she moved back in.
How many seconds before you snapped the last picture was this taken?
That was taken approximately. Six seconds.
Before this emerged.
That's right.
You just look behind the mountain.
Sorry. I had x-ray on it. I would have been
better. I'm just impressed by the size of that stuff.
It's big. It's, I know what a Galaxy C5 is. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have been up close to them. And it's every bit that size. It was a biggie. It was good size.
Okay.
Yeah, I blew that thing up. I put it up. I made a super large enlargement of that. I made a 30x24 enlargement of that. And it was all green and everything else, but there wasn't anything there, so it wasn't worth. I just made a proof of it.
Did you develop your own?
I just recently started getting into this, making my own prints, 8x10s of color. I developed my own black and white film and print my own black and white.
Yeah, my son, he on black and white, but never got into color.
The color is very, very easy to do. It's a little more charged to do than black and white, but it's relatively easy because I go down to a U develop operation out here, and they help you do it right along. It costs you $2.50 an hour to be there, plus your color tents and everything else that you got to play around with for a while.
I'm curious. Clouds are wispy, obviously. When that thing moved out, was there any clouds that trailed?
Yeah, sort of. It's sort of that. It's sort of like, you know, like the pulling effect, like I said.
So it did disturb the clouds.
Yeah. It's something, it's sort of like, you know, when you pull your hand out of a it's sort of like a leave it left a little trail, keep it in, which comes back in. like you're pouring your hand out of, like, you know, when it went in, it was like going in, you know, your hand with a bubble bath.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came out, it was like starting to emerge, it's like pouring out of a bubble bath.
I can't think of anything either, because obviously there was no lights, no appendages, no openings.
So FAA didn't verify a blip on their screen at the times that you were...
Right, but they didn't know, you know, what altitude it was at, or, you know, it was just, there was a blip there and that was it. They checked to see, for the military, and see if they did have any C-5s in the area. And they didn't have any that were VFR or IFR.
When you reported to Seattle Center that you had spotted the object, did you ask them at first if there was something else there, or did they say, tell you that they could see something else beside you?
Well, I asked them first if there was something else, and they said, yeah, there is. No, we don't. Because it's a reference to. So I've got him again, something to that effect, and he said, yeah, you know, we do have a blip there, but we don't know what altitude it is or anything else. I asked him if he had a target, is what I asked him. And I explained to him that I had sighted him again.
And no instrument or radio problems from there northbound?
No. Mm-hmm. No problems whatsoever.
You know, something that big, you know, people driving up and down,
yeah,
clear day.
Yeah, what percentage of people report that?
That's true.
Traffic was pretty light. Matter of fact, I didn't see anybody on the road. You can think of it. Of course, you're up pretty high. It's kind of hard to notice little cars at 10,500 feet. You can see by my altitude here on the plane, see the mountain's 14, and you can see about where the eye level was right about through here. So.
Did you ever get the urge to close in on this thing?
No.
Your curiosity stopped.
I just stopped when I got that close and it emerged. I thought, well, that's so okay. I wasn't curious.
What about when it showed up close to you down near Lassen? Did that kind of startle you?
It startled me, but that was about it. It didn't scare me or anything. The other thing that I was fighting was time, because I didn't want to file IFR coming into Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost wound up having to do that anyway. So. I was really fighting time, and I got in all the way on VFR conditions, but I wasn't down there about 10 minutes, and I didn't have IFR.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't see 2 feet in front of you because the wind was so heavy.
So you've never had a UFO experience before?
No, I haven't. No.
Do you know any pilots or friends that have had?
No, I don't.
Have you talked about this to anyone on the outside?
Just a couple of friends. I asked them if they heard about something, you know, hanging around. Just a couple of people, you know, asked me about it.